Hello everyone and welcome to our GWS episode in our Clubs in Days series. I am your host Willow and I am joined by the wonderful Jono for our first recording of the year in this Clubs in Days series. Jono, how are you going?
Yeah, I'm going great. Thanks, Willow. Pretty excited to talk about the Giants. I feel like they've been a bit down over the past few years, but I'm kind of hopeful that they're at a point where they might turn a corner.
So yeah, you say past few years. By past few years, you may mean the past decade. There's been a bit of movement at the Giants in this offseason, though. So why don't you give us a bit of a summary about the Giants, how they went last year, and what we can look forward to going into this season?
Yeah, so definitely another disappointing year. After their 16th spot in 2024, they actually slid from there down to 17th in 2025. Ended up with the 2 wins, 10 losses, and a percentage below 60. So a little bit disappointing. Coach Cam Bernasconi is coming into his 5th season in charge. So I think at this point, they're going to be hoping for some wins on the board just to take that pressure off the coach.
I mean, he's just been re-signed. So they clearly have a lot of faith in him.
They do. They do. Clearly the game plan they're excited for. And I think to be fair, I do think they've had a shortage of talent in the system, and I really, really like what they've done this offseason. I think there's some pretty exciting movement. So maybe we'll get to that before we talk about the game plan that they've been running with. First of all, very, very big in coming from my beloved Hawthorne Hawks, and that is Tilly Lucas-Rodd, who's coming in
huge,
as the experienced backline general that they are. And pretty much a one-for-one replacement, you would say, for Cat Smith, who has decided to retire after, 10 seasons in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Another very experienced player, well, not very, I guess, but more experienced than a lot of players across the league, is Poppy Bolts, who is a premiership player, despite being so young, coming in as another key tall defender.
Yeah, they've clearly addressed the need to stop the opposition forays forward, and I reckon they've done pretty well with these two.
Yeah, absolutely. And then on top of that, they've brought in 6 draftees through the national draft and the preseason draft. They've got another very high pick, pair this time. So Scarlett Johnson was taken with pick 2, Kiera Yerbury pick 3. And then they've also brought in Yasmin Janchek, Maisie Evans, and Sophia Gaukroja, which is a name I'm realizing I have not said out loud before this very moment. So apologies if I have said that wrong despite reading it many times. In terms of the game plan, though, so the Giants are really looking for that run and carry. I think of all teams in the league, they're probably the strongest on making sure that they're trying to move the ball fast, moving it by hand and on the outside. Honestly, when it works, it looks really, really good. So I mean, it's a couple seasons ago now, but that round one game against the Bulldogs to open their 2024 season, I think that is their game plan working to a T. It was fast. It was exciting. The risk, though, with this sort of a game plan is when you turn it over, you're going to get exposed. And that ball is going to be coming quickly the other way. Often your defense is going to be out of position. It also requires you to get possession in the first place. And last year, the Giants lost Elise Parker early, and they were really, really struggling to win the contested possession and to get their hands on the footy in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. That injury to Elise Parker was a real killer, but it did allow us to get a lot of Zadley Goldsworthy midfield time, which as fantasy coaches we loved.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So one of the other players that was in that forward line for the GWS Giants was Tani Evans, who we were quite surprised after thinking that she was going to be a star defender, but really, really impressed up forward. And Mel had a chance to sit down and chat with Tani about the Giants, so we'll now jump into that interview.
Welcome, Tani Evans, to the Free Kick Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Excellent. So we're a few weeks into preseason. How are you finding it all so far?
Yeah, it's been great. It's nice to be back into it. As we all know, we have a pretty long off season, but it's so good to be back into it. And it's nice to be around the group more and training heaps. So it's been fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, we are kind of, I guess, early in the preseason, but with the season starting in a few weeks or so, like, GWS are starting with an absolute bang with a doubleheader at NG Stadium, which sounds super exciting. I mean, I'd be excited to see such a huge home ground crowd. How do you guys feel about it?
Yeah, absolutely frothing. I think it's cool. It's so exciting. I don't know. I feel like it's been on the cards a little bit, like, for the past few years, been kind of talking about whether it'll happen, and now it's here and we're all just pumped about it. So, yeah, that's cool. I can't wait. It's like, it's funny. There's different, like, two different communities with an AFLW crowd and a AFL crowd. And it's awesome to see that maybe they'll come together, and that'll be really cool. It'll be cool to see and cool to play in front of. So I'm pumped. Yeah.
Yeah. I reckon that'll be a massive, excited crowd as well.
Yeah.
So you're coming into your seventh season now, after being drafted for the Giants back in 2020, and your fourth season in the leadership group, which is crazy considering you're only 24. That's a lot of experience already. How have you found your leadership style evolving, given that you've been a leader for quite a while and around the club for a long time?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think when I first got into the leadership group, I was very unaware of what my leadership style probably would be. And there's a lot of big learnings really quickly. But I think for me, it's probably around my energy and being myself, and I guess, like, making people comfortable and trying to get the best out of your teammates. But yeah, trying to be on a level playing field with the group, and yeah, working for the group, not the group working upwards, if that makes sense. But kind of making connections and being myself, and then, like, trying to lead through action for me. But it's definitely grown, my goodness. I definitely felt like I wasn't sure what I was up to for the first few years. So it's cool to be here, and it's been a pretty exciting journey. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, one of the most experienced players at the club already, which feels crazy as well.
Yeah, I don't know.
What are you working on coming into this season, either, like, leadership-wise or game-wise? Like, what's your focus?
I think I've this year been focusing, I guess, because I've been now I feel solid in the forward line, individually, focusing on just making those connections in the forward line, and having, like, a detailed system with the group around me in the forward line. So I'm super excited for that, just getting joy out of our group and loving that, and, like, being able to feel belonging and being connected in that forward line group. And then individually working on probably more, like, my contested work and a bit more around that side. So being that taller key forward, working through that a bit more. But yeah, just feeling a bit more connected within the group and in that forward line.
Yeah, given you are so tall and such a utility, like, you're settling in the forward line now, but you've really been a bit of everywhere around the ground. I was wondering if you were going to, you know, throw in a rogue ruck focus season just to mix it up.
Hopefully I'll say. You never know, but yeah, hopefully we'll be holding the forward line for a little bit this year.
Yeah, nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So settling as well, we're talking about settling, Cam Bernasconi, coach, has been coach for 5 years or so, and he's locked in for another couple, which will be nice and, like, give some continuity and some more time to execute on the game plan for the Giants. Yep. What's been his focus or priority for the squad to be thinking about this preseason?
Yeah, just, I guess, it's super exciting. We're so stoked, and I feel like we all see a really clear direction where we're heading with Cam, and he's the best, so we're excited for that. I think just working really hard this off season. Like, we've had a massive off season, where we've kind of all ended up back in Sydney at in the early parts of this year, so got in some really good training blocks, which was unreal. So working really hard on our skills and our fundamentals, and just getting that, like, that's one of the biggest parts of the game. So without that, trying to focus on our fundies and then that systematic game plan and that fast, enjoyable style that everyone loves to watch come through, hopefully more this year. So really pushing that this year, and he's got some great support behind him as well, who have come in to the program as well. So that's been awesome to see. But yeah, no, really excited for what we're going to bring underneath Cam this year.
Yeah, nice. And I love that you mentioned like the fast, fun game style. Like that is one of the perks of watching GWS, is it's so exciting to watch. I think I might have seen a quote from Cam maybe last season, though, mentioning like wanting to keep focusing on that, but also like tightening up some of the turnovers and the defensive side. Is that still a focus?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think our game style, especially like it's built off defense, like where it's really built off what's going on defensively for us, and bringing that pressure and those come forward and putting pressure on our opposition. So yeah, we've been really, really looking at that this year and how we can improve those turnovers, especially in the forward half. So yeah, that's been a big focus as well.
Yep, nice. Good to hear it. I guess then in the forward line, you and Georgia Garnett have made up a large portion of the scoreboard last season, with Georgia leading for marks inside 50 and you leading on the goals, on the goal side. How have you found like working with the group to share some of the load around some of the other like small and medium forwards? Like what's the relationship looking like between the forward line?
It's cool. That's what I was saying before. I think it's getting a bit of continuity within the forward line this year. We've got a fair few new players that look like they'll roll through there. So that's unbelievably exciting. But also, trying to find that continuity and like between the mids and the forwards as well, and trying to get more scoring throughout the lines, really. It's been a focus, but it's more just trying to find that system and those connections within the forward line for us to start with this preseason.
Makes sense. And one of the exciting young players that I assume we'll be seeing through there is Kira Yerbury, who has drawn some impressive comparisons to Zala Goldsworthy on her power and defensive pressure. Is she someone that we might see more in the forward line, or because she has a bit of mid-forward experience, is she more training with the midfield?
She's best. She's so fun. She'll be unreal this year, I'm sure. She started flying, so really great character and also great footballer. Like immediately just come in and made an impact, so that's really cool. And I think she's got almost that utility card as well, like because of her power and her speed and her endurance, and also just her skills in general. I think she will probably look through mids and forwards a little bit.
Nice, that's cool.
Right.
I guess then in the midfield we've got hopefully the return of a fit Elise Parker season. How's she looking?
Unreal. And Parky's flying. She's looking great. Parks is unreal. I mean, she's come back straight back in and it's just the beast that she is. Like she's impossible to stop old Parky. So she's looking great for this year.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. I mean, she's such an important part of the midfield and so great to watch her. I guess with her back though, like we saw Zali Goldsworthy pick up a bit more in the midfield rather last season in Elise's absence. With Elise coming back, does that free up Zali a little bit more, even more for the forward line, like we saw in a few of those games?
Possibly. We're trying to kind of figure out where that's going to go this year, but I think she'll look as well, the same as Kira, probably roll through mids and forwards, which will be exciting. Yeah, a bit of both.
Yeah, so many good options. So
it's
really like how you fit them all in, where everyone's going to... Very good. I mean, speaking of so much great talent and how to fit it all in the ruck lineup, well, there's another good few options here. Elise O'Dowd, who has that amazing, like, athletic run and carry. Oh, sorry, Eilish. What did I say?
You're right. Pretty close. Eilish.
Sorry, I just realised what I said. Eilish O'Dowd with her incredible run and carry and athletic build. And then we also saw a little bit of Grace Kosh last season, who unfortunately suffered a few injuries. And then Fleur Davis as an impactful tap ruck. Any thoughts on how those guys are going to structure up in the ruck? Is it going to be kind of a prominent couple?
We'll see. We've had some incredible draftees as well. So
yep.
Had Yaz come in, and she's immediately looking at that ruck position, she's flying at the moment. So Fleur and Yaz, they're our tall, looking at our tall rucks. We've also had Maisie come in, who was in that preseason draft, who's another tall. So that could, so there's some great options. And Ailish obviously is, insane. She's so good. So there's definitely a few options. So it's kind of what we need when we need it, really. For the coming through.
Yep, they won't be needing you. And then some of the other new talent you guys are bringing in the defensive line. So obviously fullback Kat Smith has retired, who was our interviewee last season. But a couple of great new additions in ex-Hawks skipper Tilly Lucas-Rod and Premiership Lion Poppy Bolts. That's a fantastic pickup. How have those guys fit in?
Yeah, unreal. They've both slotted in. They've just injected some like insane experience, obviously, through Till. Like, they're so great, and the detail and the skills and the fundamentals and just the leadership as well has been incredible. And then Poppy's just she's firing. So yeah, that's been unreal to see her come in as well, and just bring the experience straight away and the knowledge, and just having a solid head straight in. So yeah, it's been awesome. Like, it feels like a pretty solid back line, which has been fun to play against as well, and also pretty hard. So to start this preseason, but they've both just added immediately to the program.
And I guess someone else, an exciting talent brought in, Scarlett Johnson, who I believe is both halfback and wing. Has she been kind of fitting in the back line there, or has she?
She's been, she's rolling through a bit of every, she's a bit of utility at the moment.
A trend I'm noticing.
Also has some incredible skills. Is a great fundamentally, an amazing mark, as you guys probably have seen. Great character, one of the best as well. So that one's, glad I'm not burner. This is actually, now I'm thinking about it. they're gonna play anywhere. So Scar's come in and been killing it. So that's another great player that's added into the program.
Very cool. Just staying in the back line, one more question about Izzy Huntington. We saw her have a huge season last year, working overtime back there. How have these additions kind of, does that free her up a little bit to move a bit more forward? Or like, what's this great like new backline talent influx kind of opening up for Izzy this season?
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool. I think as we saw last year, Izzy's had an unreal season in the back line, and being that intercept. It's got best hands in the game. she's pretty solid down there. I think that's looking like she'll be still have those intercepts and still be that option down back for us. So she's killing it this year.
Another great season from her down there, which will be awesome. Yeah. Very cool. And just one final question that we like to wrap up with, which is, I mean, we've spoken about a lot of exciting players, but if you had to pick one who's going to have a breakout season in 2026, who would it be? And for context, Kat Smith last season said you, so you get to pass the court.
Oh, my goodness. I'm a shocker with this. I can never pick one. I actually think Brody Mowbray might have a breakout season this year. She's been flying, so excited to see how she goes this year. I think she'll find a bit of confidence, and I think she's killing it at the moment, so that'll be exciting to see how she goes this year.
Nice. She looking good at preseason, giving you good signs?
She's flying.
Everyone's flying.
Plenty that are, so we could see a couple.
So much to be excited about at GWS this season. Really looking forward to it. Thank you for joining us, Tani.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
Fantastic stuff there from Mel and from Tani. What a great interview. Jono, do you have any key takeaways out of that one?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think Mel had come away saying that she hadn't really heard much from Tani, that there was like, it was challenging. But honestly, Tani gave us so much. I feel like she was really open about a lot of the player positions that we're going to see this season. It's exciting to hear about how that defense is changing. Obviously, something she's playing against in preseason every week on. So interesting to hear about a lot of the different roles coming across the squad.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great way for us to go into our top five fantasy picks from the Giants. And number one is an absolute classic pick for the Free Kick podcast.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely a favorite for us. Elise Parker, who, as we said earlier, missed most of the 2025 season. She ended up with a fractured foot from the first half of the round one game last season. And God, it was devastating for the Giants because they really, really need her at the coalface to be getting that contested footy. So this season, I'm expecting her to return straight back into that midfield. And she's coming in with a pretty severe discount, having missed most of last year. And when we look at her three previous seasons, she averaged 93 in 2024, 96.4 in 2023, and 91.6 in 2022B or season 7, depending on how you want to frame those. So more than capable of scoring. And a lot of these seasons as well were sort of before we saw the longer game time, the increased fantasy points that I think we've been seeing in recent seasons.
Yeah.
So I think there's definitely scope for her to make it up to a 100 point average. And she's doing this through her bulk tackles and just winning contested possessions. So I think Elise Parker is one of the more obvious picks we're going to see this season. So rather than try to sell her as, you know, what an undervalued player, because I think that's pretty much a given here. What I'm looking for is, are there any flags that we should be worried about? So things that might prevent us from picking Elise Parker.
I think the main one for me is that she plays for GWS, but I think the game has, as we know, it's moved towards a sort of an outside transition game, and that doesn't necessarily suit Elise Parker, but we know how good a player she is. So I think that even if like the 90 to 100 point average isn't there, I still think you're going to get at least like an 85.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's that outside transition game that had me worried as well. The one saving grace that I have here is I'm sort of looking at the early run that the Giants have this season. They open with West Coast, Melbourne, Port Adelaide and Brisbane in their first four. And all of those teams are in the top six for contested possessions. West Coast and Port Adelaide in particular are bottom two for uncontested possessions. Both teams favour a pretty contested game style. So I think for someone like Elise Parker, at the very least, she should start strongly or have opportunities to score quite well in the early game. If we look at the last season she did play, so 2024, there were different top contested teams from that year. But in the three games she played against the top four contested possession rate teams in the league, sorry, this is a bit technical there, but we had an 81 against Port Adelaide, a 124 against Richmond, and a 116 against St Kilda. So I think when the game is on those terms, that's when Parker puts up the big scores.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the only other worry for me would be that if they do decide to sort of slowly bring her back in, maybe she plays a bit of time up forward. We know that they've got really good marking options, but they don't really have sort of that medium tall option, and we know how strong she's at the contest. That's probably my only other worry, but yeah, it's Elise Parker. I think it's a pretty,
yeah,
a reasonably safe one.
Yeah, yeah. It's arguably their best player. I mean, Zali Goldsworthy, Tani Evans would have a shout for that, but Elise Parker at her best is a very, very good player. So unless they try to ease her in, which, you know, for someone who's been off their feet for a lot of last year, you know, maybe fitness levels is a concern as well. It's something we're going to have to monitor in these preseason games.
Absolutely. Number two, another favorite. And I mean, you just couldn't help but bring the Hawthorn influence into this episode too.
Yeah, absolutely. It took all within me not to just put them number one. Tilly Lucas-Rodd, the 83 averaging defender, superstar, traded across from the Hawks last season. We are very confident that they're going to be a top five defender yet again. ordinarily you would look at a high disposal defender going from a top four team down to a bottom four club, and you'd go, this is Christmas. This is amazing to see. One thing I would say is that the Hawks territory battle wasn't as strong as you would think it was in 2025. So, you know, I think the Giants only conceded about four more inside 50s per game. But generally, I think Tilly Lucas-Rodd is going to have a lot more of the ball in their area. And this is going to be a very, very good thing. So when we look at what Tilly's season last year looked like, an absolutely incredible start. I think they were going 89.6 over the first seven rounds with a low score of 76 and a high of 108, which is actually pretty low banding in terms of, you know, ceiling versus floor scores. I think they're one of the more consistent defenders that we saw across the whole season. Even with a quiet back half of the year, it didn't really, you know, fall too much. It's not like they had a score under 40, which a lot of the big defenders did at some point.
Mm.
So I think their low was a 64.
Yeah, it's consistency you dream of as a premium defender.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, there's obviously a flag here as well, which I want to raise. It's potential upside, it's potential downside. I'm not quite sure which way we're looking. So last year at the Hawks, Tilly Lucas-Rodd took 52 kickouts, and that was more than half of what happened at the Hawks. However, the Giants have pretty much exclusively given this role in the past to Emily Pease, who took 90 kickouts last season. So that was something like 85% of their total. Absolutely enormous number. Now, obviously, if Lucas-Rodd loses all of their kick-ins, then they're probably losing like maybe 9 points a game, I think, on average, which is terrible. If they get all these kick-ins, then they're probably gaining six. Like, this is a big yeah. turn here, because the Giants have conceded a lot more behinds than the Hawks did. So it does raise a big question. What's going to happen with that distributor role?
That's the first watch and wait for our GWS episode. That's one I think we'll have to see how that looks in the preseason, who's taking those kickouts.
Yeah.
So your number three, I think, is a player that we had pretty high in this list last season. And they did lift their scoring rate last year, but I think you're backing them to have yet another scoring rise this season. Who's your number three, Jono?
Yeah, so my number three is Caitlin Serhoy, who, as you said, improved their average, but only by the 8 points last year, up to a 69.3. With Elise Parker going down, they actually basically were given the keys to the midfield in their second year. They had an 80% CBA midfield role. And I thought, even though the fantasy points weren't necessarily there, I thought they looked a lot more at home. They looked a lot more impressive. And particularly, you know, from like round six onwards, I think once they'd settled a little bit, they ended up going at 78 from that point onwards. And they had a top score of 110 against the Saints in round eight. So I think that ceiling is there. The real question, I suppose, is what's the role that she's going to be having this season? Because I think with continued exposure, she is just going to grow as a player and eventually become, you know, a pretty important midfield there. But there's actually a lot of players in the mix. So obviously Parker is returning, and I think Beck Beeson is not moving from that midfield. I think they're probably their two, you know, most important contested possession midfielders there. Zali Goldsworthy, we know that Cam Bernasconi has wanted to play her more and more forward over the last few seasons, but I don't think it's going to become a 0% midfield mix. And then it sounds like Eilish O'Dowd is going to be moving out of the ruck position, and I think is kind of at a loose end. I'm not really sure what their role is going to be, but I can still imagine there'll be quite a few CBAs in there. And that's before we talk about players like Sarah Howley or I think Brodie Mowbray had a game towards the end of the season where they had quite a few minutes. We've got these debutants coming in who can run through the middle. I think it's going to be a really interesting mix, and trying to figure that out is going to be a big part of the Giants season. I think if Serhoy can hold on to her role in the middle, I think she's probably one of the better outside players that they have running through there last season. It's probably one of the better kicks in that team, and I would probably hope that she holds that role.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And as you say, they've got a lot of in and under midfielders. So I think Serhoy provides a really interesting point of difference for them. We just want to see it translate into some fantasy points, I think.
Yeah, well, this is kind of why I'm both nervous for Parker's return in terms of how many minutes that Serhoy has in the middle. But if she keeps the minutes up, honestly, I think Parker is a big boon. Because Parker's the sort of type to win it at the contest and feed it out to an outside player, whilst Goldsworthy is a special case who will win it get outside themselves and then deliver the kick. Like, it's a whole other level, but it doesn't involve sharing it with Serhoy as much.
Yeah, I think that's very much the case. I mean, GWS, they're absolutely flushed with young talent. And so for number four, you've gone for another young star in the making.
I have. I'm actually really excited about Scarlett Johnson and what they can do at the Giants. Some of their athleticism and their highlights that we've been seeing in the lower levels is seriously impressive. I'm not going to lie. When I did see that she was listed as a defender and a very high draft pick, my mind immediately went to Zippy Fish of last season and the incredible breakouts that we've seen in the past. But I don't think that they're the same type of player. I think they're more of a Poppy Schultz intercepting defender. They've got a really, really impressive marking rate. I suppose the question that I have is that Tani Evans, in that interview we just heard, has said she's been playing all over the ground. So I'm not quite sure where she fits in. I would say she appears to be more of that natural floating defender who can bring that run and carry. But the GWS backline is kind of busy already. I mean, we've got McCormick, who is All-Australian, Poppy Bolts, who's coming in, Izzy Huntington, who is a terrific intercept defender. Tilly Lucas-Rod is obviously going to slot in there somewhere. Emily Pease, obviously highly entrenched in that back line. So that's five off the bat, and that's before you bring in Daisy Walker, Grace Martin. Obviously, there's a bit of space with Kat Smith retiring, but it's a busy back line to fit into.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because I think even with Lucas-Rod and Pease already there, I think they're probably still lacking one genuine distributor. So I'd like to see them use her in that way, but didn't have a huge, you know, fantasy average in under 18s. Only the, you know, 74 points, which isn't bad, of course, but, you know, it's a big step up, unless your name is Zippy Fish, as you've pointed out. didn't really, you know, have high marks or tackles. It was mostly from the disposals as well, and that probably does worry. But at the same time, a high draft pick who will play, I mean, there's money to be made there. It's probably just a matter of how much.
Yes, but I will say, from those under 18 championship games, it was only the four, and I think she started into those a little bit later into the season. I think it's the Coates Talent League is probably what I was looking at a little bit more, with the 12 matches there, so slightly greater sample size. And there she averaged 100 fantasy points from just shy of 24 disposals, but it was also 6.2 marks a game and five tackles. So I think that to me is the exciting thing. And that's even if she doesn't have an established role in the back line, she was floating a lot. You know, we'd seen her start on the wing, we'd seen her start as a CBA midfielder. She kicked 7 goals across the season, so clearly floating forward at times as well.
Absolutely. And I mean, you've gone for the pick two at number four. So at number five, it's only natural that you go for your pick three.
Yeah, just to confuse people. But yeah, the last fantasy pick that we've gone here is Kiara Yerbury, who is another sensational talent. I think they've really focused in on local talent. Both of these players are coming from the New South Wales region. But this one, rather than that defensive mid, is more of an offensive, explosive type. We're seeing a lot of comparisons to Zali Goldsworthy in and across her draft profile. So an absolutely fantastic athlete, ended up winning the Giants preseason trial at the start of the preseason. So, you know, coming in with an impressive endurance. And Tani did say rotating between the forward and the midfield group. I'm not quite sure if that means, you know, inside midfield role or out on the wing, but I think someone else that we're probably likely to see debuting early, which is pretty exciting.
Someone else who can affect your Caitlin Serhoy call as well, from the sounds of it.
No doubt, yeah. But another special junior talent with the 94 fantasy points in her four matches in the Coates Talent League, seemed to play, I don't know, four or five matches in like seven different leagues. It was very confusing trying to follow all of her junior stats. But the key thing is racking up plenty of disposals everywhere that she went, and a lot of tackle numbers, a lot of inside 50s. So clearly impacting forward of the ball and getting involved in scoring.
Very nice. Sounds like a good couple of picks there for the Giants, and I'm sure a lot of people will be interested in those ones as their fantasy picks. In terms of the host special, now the host special is a player that we have been trying to advocate for several years without success. And so I'm going to do it again. I'm really hopeful that this year, 2026, is going to be the year for Fleur Davis to finally become the fantasy champion that we have always wanted her to be. Now, Fleur Davis averaged 42.5 last year. Not that great, let's be honest. But the important thing to note is that was from just an average of 50% game time. And while Eilish O'Dowd has been quite useful around the ground and up forward, it was pretty clear that the Giants needed a little bit more in the ruck department in terms of actual ruck work. And as Tani Evans has pointed out, that seems to no longer be the case that we're having Eilish O'Dowd as the ruck. So hopefully what that means for us fantasy coaches is that Fleur Davis is going to be given more responsibility in the ruck, which is what Tani Evans seemed to suggest. And if we can extrapolate out from the 50% game time scoring a 42, if we give that to, say, maybe 75% game time, that's a 60-plus average. And that's heaps of cash generation and a wonderful pick to start the season. And I think it's a wonderful pick if you're looking for a bit of mid-price madness in your ruck department, which historically, especially for me, has never gone wrong.
No, I love it. I love it. This is exactly what points per minute is here for, and it's going to be 100% accurate. There's no doubt about that.
Cannot see any way that goes wrong.
Yeah. Are we confident? How confident are you that Fleur Davis is going to hold onto that ruck spot the whole season?
Not at all. Mm. Not in the slightest. I mean, for all we know, the draftee, Yasmin Jarshank,
yeah,
could be the player that comes in and takes the ruck role. I think that was another one of the players that was mentioned by Tani. I mean, who knows? Let's be honest with the Giants.
It's a tricky one to pick, but I think also there have been some changes to the ruck rules this season, and I think that is probably going in Fleur Davis's favour, probably with her height over someone like O'Dowd. You know, at the centre bounce, you would hope that she's winning more hitouts. And that someone who is trying to take possession out of the ruck and run with it is probably going to struggle to do that as much.
Yeah, I think that's the case. And, I mean, the Giants obviously picked Yasmin Jarshank, hard to say, to be, you know, a developing ruck. Great height at 184 centimetres, but throwing her into the deep end at this stage seems unlikely, I would have thought. So I'd be surprised if Davis doesn't get at least the first sort of crack at it. Hmm. And if she gets, you know, four or five games at that 75% game time averaging 60, that might be all you need to make the money and then jump ship.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I do like it. I think value is, you know, getting more and more important by the season. So having that opportunity early, I'm sure someone like Mel will be jumping on immediately to start the season.
Well, I mean, Mel usually just picks a random ruck that debuts who then gets removed the next week. So I'm hoping that that's not the case. I think that'll probably do us for the Giants. They're a fascinating team. It'll be great to see how they go this year. Keep an eye out for the best 21 that we post on our socials and also the complimentary article that goes with this to discuss the Giants in a bit more detail. We've been Free Kick, Jono and Willow. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
See ya.